not very easy to say good morning, because most of us, when we're actually meeting in Wales, is nearly always in the afternoon. And it's very nice to be here. Mind you, it's actually evening at the moment for me, but nevertheless, the mind is just about gearing in and over the jet lag by now. Anyway, I do want to send greetings to everybody from all of them in Wales. They all wish to be remembered to you, and it's not just Wales, but the UK in general, so they do send their love and kind regards to you, and also Scandinavia, and the people down in West Africa and South Africa as well, who also we serve from the UK. Please be remembering those in West Africa particularly. The ones in South Africa we hope should be with us for the feast over in Derbyshire, over in the UK. But the ones in West Africa, they will probably have to log in, if they can, via internet. And because of many difficulties over in that area of the world, the electricity supply doesn't work. Just about every single day you'll have 5-10 times that the electricity supply will go off. You've got to have backup generators. It's all by VSAT, all by satellite system. So, and they're sharing, obviously, with other people that come in to use the internet cafe. Please be remembering the people down, your brethren down in West Africa, who really do need to be able to log into us for the feast this year. And so if you could be remembering them in your prayers, and I'm sure that they would appreciate it. Last time I spoke here in Modesto, I did speak about living in prophetic times, and I thought it might be appropriate to really do a little bit of an update, if anything, on the prophetic times that we're living in today by way of the sermonette. We certainly are living in prophetic times. Europe at the moment is heading in a certain direction. It's not the final Europe that there will be, which is the resurrected Holy Roman Empire. There's not the great love lost between what is in Europe at the moment and also the Catholic Church. But if you read Revelation carefully, you'll find there's not an awful lot of love lost between the Europe that will arise and the Catholic Church, because they will actually, it says, burn her with fire. The relationship between the secular sources of Europe and also the religious side is that of a whore. In other words, it's one who pays for services for the other. And that is the relationship that will come out of that liaison in the future. We need to be aware of that. And also be aware also that when we're looking at Europe, it doesn't have to be a federal state. It's heading in that direction, but it doesn't have to become a federal state. It can actually, it actually says in Daniel, it's going to be partly iron and partly clay. So it's going to be a rather fractured state. And what we're looking at in Europe right now, and the way things are going, the legislation against terrorism, the legislation for federalism, and just the way that the states, the individual states, and the way the states have control is being pushed down steadily. Even little things in the on the roads that we notice within the UK is the emergence of cameras. You don't have them over here. You just don't. We have these blue cameras that are everywhere, and they don't just kind of keep an eye on traffic. They can read your number plate, and they know exactly where you are. There was in the paper the other day, it was talking about how many, literally tens of thousands of prosecutions have come as a result of that. Not from speeding offences, because they can also do that by measuring between two spots, but for drug-related offences. Because drug-related offences, they see somebody selling drugs, they get a number, their registration number, and they know exactly where they are at any time through these cameras. They just feed them into the computer. Anybody that's got a problem with, as far as the tax disc is concerned, they've also gone ahead and caught them in that way. And even coming here to the United States, I've noticed a difference from when we were here in January and when we came what day is it? Whatever day it was, we came through Thursday, wasn't it, when we actually came through in San Francisco. But San Francisco is an awful lot tighter than it was. Between January and also this particular time in the UK, they've had literal tanks on the outside the airport. There was a scare at that time, and they got the tanks, and the full army just went into Heathrow and just virtually took over the place because of the threat to SAM missiles or whatever the surface-to-air missiles that they were going to use. against, they'd had intelligence that there was some terrorist threat at that time. But coming into San Francisco, going through the security, you now actually scan your bags as you come into the country. Idea is for fruit or vegetables, but you really do wonder. I don't think it is fruit or vegetables they're scanning for. They just want to have a look and see what's coming into the country in that regard. I know that Mr. Bagenza, who picked us up, he had to, been told to circle. You got airplanes circling overhead, and you got Mr. Plagenza circling around, going around the airport down below, because you can't park outside the airport, because obviously if you've got if it's filled with explosives, it can cause incredible damage. That has been the policy to some degree in Heathrow for years. And Tel Aviv, I mean, when you go to Israel, they have had security like this for an awful long time. How could a mighty power like the United States is today, really be defeated, and democracy that is there be defeated to such a degree that the people are actually taken as slaves? I think some of us within the wider Church of God definitely, and perhaps even within this room as well, look at the situation and say, look, it cannot be, it can't be just up ahead. It must be some way away from us today. As I say, when you're looking at the world, when you're looking at the things that are being laid into place within Europe, remember, it talks about birth pains. And these birth pains, they rise and they fall, and they rise and they fall, but the peaks are moving together. That's the way in which it's been likened within Scripture. So you'll see something rise, you'll see a war down in the Middle East, and then it'll disappear. And then you'll see some other kind of thing flare up, and that will disappear. And then something else over the world, and then it disappears. And you get it almost complacent, particularly I get the feeling from here within the United States of America, because you don't have the Northern Irish who are exploding bombs within your cities, and then the Middle Eastern terrorist threat. It's not the same at all. But terrorism is a very different enemy from anything that we've really faced in the Western world. As I say, we've faced it in the UK for years through Northern Ireland. Let's turn over to Isaiah 30, over in Isaiah chapter 30. It mentions here in Isaiah 30, it gives a likening between the situation that we'll find ourselves in. Isaiah 30, notice in verse 8, it says, "Go write it before them in a table, note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come." Notice, for a time to come. It's the time to come. Forever and ever. In other words, hang on to it right the way through the generations, through the millennia, until right now, where we are. "That this is a rebellious people and lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Eternal," and that is true today, "which say to the seers, do not see, and the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, prophesy, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore the iniquity shall be to you as a breach that is ready to fall." It's like a wall that is there, it's all intact, but it's ready to fall. And if you've ever seen a wall fall, and I have seen a wall fall, I think I brought this out in the sermon when I was here last time, it happens in an instant. It is so fast. There's almost nothing you can do. All you can do is leap, jump, and that's all you can do. "Swelling out in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant, and it'll break and breaking of a potter's vessel." Indication is that it's going to be very, very quick. It was interesting that the leader of MI5, which is almost like, I think, is it CIA or FBI? CIA, I think it is, over here. But MI5, which is a secret service in the UK, she got up and gave a speech recently and said that it's only a matter of time before we have a major incident within Western cities. And that was within the last week, 2 weeks, something like that she got up and said this. Interesting, if you turn back a few pages in Isaiah chapter 9, there's another scripture here which I think is very interesting. Again, notice what it's talking about. It talks about, "For unto us a child is born," in verse 6. the increase of his government, verse 7, and peace, there'll be no end. So it's pretty clear what in fact the time frame of this verse is. It says the Eternal sent a word to Jacob. To Jacob, not to Zion, not to the church. You're looking at Jacob. You're looking at the Israelites, Britain and America primarily. And it's lighted upon Israel, and all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria. Who were the inhabitants of Samaria? If you go back, you'll find that they were Manasseh. So Ephraim and Manasseh, there was half tribe of Manasseh, there's another tribe on the other side. It says that say in the pride and the stoutness of heart that the bricks are fallen down, but we'll build them with hewn stones. And there's a certain arrogance within the Western nations. And this really sums it up. The sycamores are cut down, but we'll change them into cedars. Therefore the Eternal shall set up adversaries of Rezin. Now Rezin was the king of Syria at that time. And remember what we just read about the government shall be on his shoulders. You were looking at a future fulfillment here. It's not just looking backwards at time. And it says, against him, and join his enemies together. Notice, and join his enemies together. What's happening within the Middle East now is very significant. We need to keep our eyes on that area. The enemies are gathering together. People that would never get themselves together. Saddam Hussein would never get together with Al-Qaeda. But if he's alive, you can guarantee that he will now. You can guarantee it. The Syrian before, and the Palestinian behind. Because the remnants of Philistia are the Palestinians. So in Syria before, the Palestinians behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turn not to him that smite them, neither do they seek the Eternal of hosts. Therefore the Eternal will cut off from Israel head, tail, branch, and rush in one day. Now terrorism is a different enemy. And we are not looking at just blowing up a bomb. Was it in Oklahoma City you had that bomb explosion? I'm not talking about stuff like that, or down in the city of London, which we had a few years ago. I'm talking about nuclear weapons. And I mean the real full-blown article. There are nuclear weapons almost certainly in terrorist hands today. And it is interesting that when you're looking at what Mr. Armstrong said in the Mystery of the Ages, that he mentions there, let's see, page 183, it says, World War III will start with nuclear devastation unleashed on London, Birmingham, Manchester, Liverpool, New York, Washington, Philadelphia, and so on. A wall ready to break. You see, we live in a world today that has the capability of this. Although all around us it looks peaceful, it looks secure, you know, there's food in the shops, the whole thing can change overnight, and I mean in a way that it could never have changed in the days gone by. We've got to be aware of that, and that means that we get onto our knees. We've got to be watchful of these things. And as it says here, he will neither leave, therefore the Eternal will cut off from Israel head, branch, tail, rush in one day. The ancient and honorable is the head. The prophet that teaches lies is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those that are led of them are destroyed. It will go into the actual centers of the governments. So we're looking at quite troublous times. We don't have to be unduly fretting, but you can imagine if this occurred, if there was nuclear terrorism within Britain and America, what would the people do if there was a really devastating attack and the lands were polluted? You'd have to get the people out of the lands. You're looking at exactly the scenario of people going, being taken to other lands. Are you looking at legislation that's already in Europe being brought into effect? The beast, the 10 nations, giving the power to the beast. We are living in prophetic times still. Don't go to sleep. Do not go to sleep because things around us look peaceful. The underlying things are still there. And the suddenness with which it can occur will take the world will have its breath taken away from it. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, final scripture in the sermonette here. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, the times and the seasons, brethren. Well, we're leading in. I mean, just notice that he's talking here in 1 Thessalonians 4. It's talking about the time of the end and the fact the resurrection from the dead and the fact that the church will be born again in a literal way. But it goes into chapter 5, of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly, the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. It's the outside world. And the outside world will appear as if peace and safety, as birth pains upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. You know that it is the end time. You know that there has been apostles sent. You know, we know this. We know there's been a great falling away. We know that a certain spirit of let the people decide is all around the church today. We can see this right now. We can see the potentiality for that wall to break. We can see the prophecies and the way in which these things rise and fall, yes, as an underlying thing, but we can see various parts, key parts, going down in place. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, do not let us sleep as others do, but let us watch, be alert, and be sober. And it goes on to the spiritual condition that we must be in. So I just thought I'd bring that to you, really, by way of the sermonette, not to alarm you, because you're not, you know, you're not in darkness. None of us should be in darkness. But we have got to keep on our knees, and we have got to recognize where our strength lies. And if we don't, it will catch us unawares. Make no doubt about that, it will. So I thought that that would be appropriate, again, coming from the UK, seeing what's going on, travelling, going through the airport, seeing a change, and just seeing also the prophecies that are there, what it talks about, the terrorism that is, the potential that is there. We need to make sure that we are keeping awake, and we are keeping on our knees, and keeping close contact with God.